This is the story of the one. As a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility, he knows keeping the line up and running is a top priority. That's why he chooses Grainger. Because when a drive belt gets damaged, Grainger makes it easy to find the exact specs for the replacement product he needs. And next day delivery helps ensure he'll have everything in place and running like clockwork. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey guys, it's Candace.
And it's Elena.
And you're listening to Cousins on Crime.
Girls.
I'll edit that out. I just burped. We're all friends here, right?
Right.
Girls are gross, okay? My little girls are gross, but their daddy's gross.
Oh, my okay? goodness.
I'm calling them out right now.
My nieces, though. Oh, man. Lane's girls.
Yeah.
They're little toots, for sure.
Toot, poop. Oh, my gosh. It's like, what? Who are you? Like, why are you so gross?
It's just funny.
It is. I guess it is funny. It's kind of funny. I mean, I do. The reason I say crap my pants or they crapped all over the place or whatever it is that I say in this podcast, it's because of them.
Oh, they taught you?
Yeah. They're a bad influence. It's just the words that flow through my house every day. That I, you know, I'm just exposed to.
Right, right.
I'm sorry, guys.
Okay.
I haven't seen you in a coon's age, it feels
right,
like.
Right, right.
Have you been?
Good.
Good?
Yeah.
Tired?
Tired. Of ready course, to all get, the time.
Ready to get the show on the road?
I mean, do you have something to chat about? I'd love to chat.
I was talking about the youth trip.
The show on the road, yeah.
Yeah. Wait. We're recording this at the same time as our Patreon episode.
Yeah.
So you, right now, you haven't gone on the youth trip, but you will have gone.
I will be back from, I will be back from the trip.
Yeah. So I feel like when you've got a lead up to something that you've been planning for a long time and working towards, like y'all been doing fundraisers and da 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 da.
Yeah.
And you're just like, all right, let's do it. Let's do it.
Yeah.
So already.
I think we will record again. Our next recording date will probably be the day I get back from youth trip. So I can tell you all about it then.
So the next week, I don't even know, like, I don't have this written down, so I don't know.
Yeah, what is time?
I don't know.
That's the going question.
Well, the next week, you know what? My windows will be delivered next Monday to my house.
Okay.
And they'll be installing my windows. So by the time we talk right now, I'll have windows and I'll probably have sheetrock in my house.
Wow.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. It's all happening. It's all happening.
I'm so happy for you.
Okay. Enough about me. The case I have for you today is crazy.
Aren't they all?
It is.
Yeah.
They all are. But I happened upon this victim when researching something else, of course, as it always happens.
Right.
And I was completely shook because this woman was an actress on EastEnders. Lina's like, who? What?
Yeah, I don't.
It's a British soap.
Okay, there you go.
Yes. So when I lived in England, Daniel and I used to watch EastEnders a lot. And every year since, we try to at least watch the Christmas special because someone big in the cast always dies. Like, it's like there's always a big scandal or there's always a death or something.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much someone always dies. So anyway, there are just so many episodes that we'd have to quit our jobs to keep up with it. We really would. This is for our listeners, but Lena and my granddad used to tape every single, like VHS And some of the kids out there are like, what's a VHS? Yeah. But he used to tape every single soap.
Yeah.
Every day, every soap.
Yeah, I'd be like, okay, which one's this?
He had tapes on tapes on tapes. And because they were all on at the same time.
Yeah.
He couldn't watch them. He had one TV in the shop going.
Right.
On all my children.
Yeah.
He had one TV over here.
One Life to Live.
One Life to Live. The Bold and the Beautiful.
Yeah.
General Hospital.
Right. And this was before DVR, like where you could right. do.
Yes. It was before that.
Yeah. So.
And even when TiVo came out, which was like the first version of DVR.
Okay. Yeah.
He wouldn't. He didn't trust it. Yeah. He was like, no, I don't.
I might lose it.
That's witchcraft. I don't know.
My system is working.
Yeah.
If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
I've got tapes. Okay. I got tapes. I got plenty of tapes. Oh, granddad.
I miss that guy.
He was such a soap appear. Anyway, I found this case and immediately I asked Daniel if he knew about, and he was like, no.
Oh?
So I was like, I'm getting into it right now. So today we're going to talk about the murder of Gemma McCluskey.
I have not heard this.
So Lena, last week we were in England. Mm-hmm. Yes. We're going back to England.
Let's go.
Because I want to go back. March 1st, 2012 began like any other day for 29-year-old Gemma McCluskey. She met up with a friend that day and got a takeaway that night on her own. A couple days later, a couple of her friends were chatting and one of them said to the other, have you talked to Gemma? Carly, Gemma's very close friend, said, well, not in a couple days. Why? And it was concerning because Gemma had quite a big circle of friends, and it seemed like the more they checked in with any of the friends, nobody had talked to her.
Oh.
Her brother didn't know where she was, who lived with her.
Oh.
And nobody was answering texts or calls in the last couple days. And so this wasn't good.
No.
It was just strange. Gemma's brother, Tony, who had been living with her, like I said, hadn't seen her in a couple days either. Her brother, Danny, went to the nightclub that she was working at to ask the manager and coworkers if they had seen her, hoping and praying maybe they had had her, you know, slinging drinks, double shift, triple shift.
Yeah, and maybe she was really busy.
Yeah, maybe she was so busy working and then passed out like tired for 2 days because she had worked so much. But that wasn't the case at all. Mm. In fact, she had missed a shift that she was meant to work.
Oh, no.
Gemma wouldn't miss work without notifying someone. She wasn't that type of girl. And most of all, she wouldn't abandon her mother, who she cared for around the clock.
Oh.
Her mother was very sick, and I'll get into that. So Gemma's brothers, along with one of her friends, went to the police station to file a missing persons report. They're like, this doesn't feel right.
Wow, that's quick for them to just be like, well, okay. I mean,
and this was 2 days. So this was 2 days after she had last been seen.
Gotcha.
And it's always interesting in adult missing persons cases because we can't always nail down when the, did I say nail down?
Nail down.
Country bumpkin. We can't nail down their exact timeline. Because these are people that are adults. They can come and go as they please. They don't have to let anyone know that they're walking out the door, especially in this situation where Gemma's living with her brother and her mom.
Okay.
And so she's just, you know, like, doesn't back need to forth. Check in with anyone. Luckily, this is 2012 and here we are. There's CCTV and there's other technology and data that we can lean on.
Right.
So police learned that on February 29th, 2012, the day before Gemma was last seen, Gemma went to the opening of the new Royal London Hospital in Whitechapel. Yes, that Whitechapel. Her friend's daughter was going to be in this opening ceremony. So Gemma was like, look, why don't I go? I'll video it for you so you can just like watch your girl and enjoy it. That's the type of person she was. Mm-hmm. Always willing.
Thoughtful.
Yeah. Very thoughtful. Always willing to help. Investigators obtained a photo of the crowd from that event where Gemma can clearly be seen, you know, in her yellow sweater. She's got her brown Louis Vuitton bag on. Mm, she's holding up her phone, filming just like she said she would. And so since Tony actually lived with Gemma, it was his statement that was probably most important to police. Surely he could account for when she came home, right, when she wasn't home. And that would have been great. But he was having trouble remembering because he was a little bit high.
Oh.
He was high.
Because I got high.
Oh my gosh. Blast from the past. And it was this nasty habit that interfered with his ability to really give anyone an accurate account of her last movements. He thought he saw her leave at such and such time. No, wait, she came home at that time.
Oh, man.
He had everything in a muddle. And his brother Danny was getting really pissed off.
Yeah,
at this point. He's like, you are such a waste of space. Ugh. Like, he's like, did y'all have an argument? Like, did she get mad at you? Did she walk out? And Tony was like, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay. So we did have a fight.
Oh.
She was really mad at him that last day she was seen, March 1st, because he was high and he left the bathroom, the bathwater running.
Oh, no.
And it overflowed.
And she's trying to take care of her mom. She's trying to take care of all this. And then he's just messing everything
She was
up.
Seeing red, yeah, as I would be. He said, we argued and I went up to my room to stay out of her way. And when I came downstairs about 6 o'clock, her keys were there, but she was gone.
Oh.
And he thinks that's the last time he saw her. Okay. He's like, I think that's it, but can't really remember.
Oh, man.
So this row over the running water was verified by Gemma's friend, Erica, who she had hung out with that day, March 1st, the day she was last seen. I've seen numerous reports that it was a sink that overflowed, but Tony actually calls it the bath, and Erica said that it was the bath. So that kind of feels more accurate. I don't know why everybody else got it wrong, but bath or sink, how are you overflowing a bath or a sink? I just like the carelessness for either. I just like how. So either way, Gemma was fuming because her pothead brother had made a mess, a huge mess that, of course, she was going to have to clean up. And she was feeling further frustrated by the fact that her mom was ill. Like you said, she was the lady of the house and she wanted to keep a nice house and it was her responsibility to do so. Now, while Gemma was with Erica, she's venting about her brother, fight.
Yeah.
And while they're still together, Tony called Gemma to start up this argument again.
Oh, no.
And Gemma was like, I'm not so done.
I'm not doing this.
She's like, I'm done. Mm. They fought. She hung up on him. And Gemma said to Erica, that's it. That is the last, that he's out of there.
Oh, wow.
Like, he's out. That was the last straw for her. So maybe she did walk out to cool off. Maybe she was like, let me rethink this. Like, he's my brother.
How am I going to make this work?
And then she meets with foul play.
Hmm.
Maybe that happened. They didn't have the foggiest idea of what happened. Gemma's friends contacted the local news station to get the word out fast and wide about Gemma's disappearance. She was an actress in EastEnders, so that was kind of like sensational, a little bit like eye-catching and people's ears perked up. Gemma's cousins, Nikki and Kyrie, sprang into action organizing search parties who spread out across London looking for Gemma. Searchers were speaking with shop owners and street vendors, passersby, to see if anyone had come across her or seen her. They were hanging missing posters, missing persons posters with her face on it, phone numbers, please contact us, and passing out flyers. I mean, they were covering London.
Meanwhile,
the best they could.
Meanwhile, what is Tony doing?
Oh, probably smoking weed.
Okay.
So her friends, family, and even some of her former EastEnders co-stars passed out flyers begging people, let us know if you even saw her. We're worried about her safety. Meanwhile, the media had begun interviewing Gemma's brothers because their numbers were on the flyer, her two brothers' phone numbers, and they were also talking to her friends. And the hashtag Find Gemma was trending on social media. So they're not wasting any time here.
Right.
They're getting it going. By March 6th, Gemma had been missing for nearly 5 days when Tony McCluskey received a phone call from a blocked phone number demanding money for Gemma's safe return.
What?
Yeah. When Tony got this phone call, he was at the flat that he shared with Gemma, which had become sort of like a gathering place for all her friends and loved ones to meet, you know, have you seen anything, heard anything? And so he puts this call on speakerphone while everybody's there. As horrifying as this call was, it finally felt like there was a bit of hope. Like now hearing that she's alive and being held for ransom, her friends and family felt like they could take half a breath, you know?
Right.
Okay, let's pay the money, whatever they're asking, and they'll give her back.
Yeah.
They all gathered around the phone, listening intently as the caller demanded £2 million and hung up.
Oh.
But not long after, a second call came in asking for some of the money to be in Iraqi dollars.
What?
Yeah, like 500 Iraqi dollars.
Okay.
And then the call ended. Then a third call came in minutes later reiterating. Okay, so £2 million.
Right.
Iraqi dollars. And this time he gave a location to meet.
Okay.
This alleged kidnapper told Tony to deliver the money to Ebbsfleet International Station.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility, he knows keeping the line up and running is a top priority. That's why he chooses Grainger. Because when a drive belt gets damaged, Grainger makes it easy to find the exact specs for the replacement product he needs. And next day delivery helps ensure he'll have everything in place and running like clockwork. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Now, Danny McCluskey received the same phone calls.
Oh.
With the same demands. And Danny asked the caller, well, I want to speak to my sister. Like, yeah. I want to verify that you have her and ensure that she's safe. But the man on the phone said that she was being held prisoner. She was nude, locked up in another room, and he had roughed her up.
Oh.
Sexually assaulted her and stuff.
Oh, my goodness.
No, you can't talk to her. But she's alive. Get the money.
Just give me the money.
Well, of course, they contacted the police.
Right.
Okay. I mean, they didn't call their bank.
Yeah.
They were like, police, please help. This is wild.
They gave us the location.
Right. Exactly. And so, though the number was blocked, police could trace the number.
Sure. Okay.
And they did so in a matter of minutes. To a 19-year-old warehouse worker, Sam Dune.
Okay.
He lived in Kent, which is where my husband's from. Don't know any association there, but anyways, that's weird. He didn't have Gemma at all. Didn't have Gemma. I mean, they went to his house and he did not have Gemma. He never had Gemma.
But he was the one that made the call.
But he made the phone call. But he denied making the phone call at first.
Sure he did.
He was like, listen, I was with a bunch of friends. I didn't call.
Oh,
like
no.
We found the brothers' phone numbers on the flyers. And I didn't, it wasn't me.
We'd have a little fun.
Right. And it was funny. Like we saw the Facebook post and we thought it would be funny. Like maybe we could make a little money. And we were all just kind of chiming in like, oh, Iraqi dollars. Oh, £2 million.
That's disgusting.
Yeah. So he told the police that he was in this with a bunch of other people. But on Tony's end, everyone that was there, there was multiple people that witnessed the phone call. And they all said no. There was one person's voice on the phone.
Yeah.
And it wasn't even like, there wasn't even chatter in the background or, you know, there was one person's voice and one person alone. So police were frustrated. They were really frustrated because not just because this little twerp thought this was funny.
Right.
This ransom demand, but mostly because of the resources and time that had been wasted on investigating this Sam guy. I mean, they burnt a whole day on this guy, you know, chasing him down, going to Kent when they could have been doing other things and been elsewhere.
Right. I mean, but if he's got her, let's go find. And that's, they have to take it seriously. Well, this is not a joke. Yeah,
because who would call and joke about something who
would,
like that?
Yeah. I mean, I feel like lots of people in this stupid world would, but.
Ay, Dios. So now, the same day that the hoax ransom call came in, March 6th, 2012, a woman was driving her barge through Acton Lock in Hackney, London. Just casually driving her barge, as you do. She was stopped there in the water waiting to pass the Regent's Canal. It was like filling up with water and she was waiting to cross over it when something thumped her boat.
No.
It was a suitcase. Thinking someone had lost their luggage and she was about to be a hero, she just fished it out of the water.
Maybe there's gold.
But when the lid popped open, revealing a gruesome sight, she knew wherever she was headed on that barge, she was going to be late.
Yeah. Stop all operations.
Right. Because in the suitcase was part of a human body.
Oh, no.
It appeared to be the torso of a female, and there was a little tattoo on the back. This discovery was right near trendy, bustling Broadway Market, and it wasn't long before police were there in boats searching, and the market goers heard about what had gone on at the canal. So they're all peeking around the corner.
Check it out.
And everyone was thinking the same thing. Mm. Could it be Gemma? I mean, that small tattoo on her back of a little bow was just like Gemma's.
Oh, no. And so it was just the torso in this?
It was just the torso.
Okay.
So they all pretty much believed that it was her. And if it was Gemma, the way she was murdered required a bit of privacy.
Right.
Concealment, if you will, unless you're Jack the Ripper. And you likely can't commit this in the street and go undetected.
Right.
Police were starting to feel like Gemma may have never left her flat at all. Of course, they looked around the place before, but they went back for a more thorough search. I mean, in those early days, all her friends and family were gathering.
Yeah.
Didn't secure the scene because they didn't know they had a crime scene.
Right.
People were just willy-nilly coming and going, but
I mean, nobody told police that, hey, she had an argument with her brother, have you questioned him?
So they did, and they had, I'll get into that.
Okay.
So they were looking around the flat a little more thoroughly this time, and they found droplets of blood in the kitchen and in the bathroom.
And nobody had noticed.
And there was a knife missing from the kitchen.
Mm.
Not sure how they missed the blood the first time. Like I said, it was a bustling flat. People were in and out. Like maybe someone was standing over the blood droplets and they didn't see.
Oh, geez.
But thank goodness someone didn't clean up their entire mess.
Right.
The same someone who never cleaned up his messes because he was a big fat loser. Gemma's brother, Tony, maybe?
Yeah, sounds like it.
Police had been side-eyeing him since day one. The conflicting statements, that I can't remember when and where was the last time he saw her. He didn't seem bothered when she was nowhere to be found. Everyone was out searching for her, but Tony was said, you know, I'll stay back at the flat just in case she returns.
That's what I was expecting.
And
that's
so he's like, I've got to be here.
Yeah.
I've got to be here for when she comes back. Mm-hmm. Her brother Danny was in just distraught, just in pieces. And it showed, like, he hardly could keep his composure some of the time. So Tony was drawing scrutiny from day one.
Right.
He wasn't acting upset at all. Now,
CCTV.
After finding CCTV footage of Tony moving a suitcase out of the flat that night that Gemma was last seen, they had enough.
Well, they had enough.
And on March 10th, they arrested him.
Okay.
He didn't initially talk. Sure. But all he would really say was he couldn't remember what happened. Couldn't remember.
Can't remember anything.
Escaping me now. Mm. Oh. In the days following Tony's arrest, police divers were searching the water carefully around the clock to locate any other evidence, aka hoping they could find the rest of Gemma.
Wow.
March 9th. The torso was positively identified as Gemma McCluskey using DNA from her toothbrush.
Oh.
And the grief just washed over Gemma's inner circle. I mean, I think you're hoping against hope that, like, no. God, no. That couldn't be, like.
Right.
There's a part of you that's like, okay, we found her. But then there's a part of you that's like, someone cut her up?
Right.
How could they do that to my loved one? And so
yeah,
it was just a whole, I mean, it was
so
just
hard to fathom.
You just can't even put your mind there. A makeshift memorial of candles and flowers began to grow near the bank of the canal where her remains were found. Now, they continued to search the canal because they believed that if her torso was there, maybe the rest of her was there. March 19th, a man working for British Waterways found a black plastic bag in the water, and it had a split in it. So he gently pulled it out of the water and set it down on the deck of his boat. And when he turned back, a hand had fallen out of the bag, and he could see painted fingernails sticking out of the bag. And of course, he was horrified.
Oh, yeah.
Now, the reports go that he and a colleague went back to the canal the next day and found the legs and the left arm in separate bags. Now, I assume that the police were involved at this point when, you know, after he had found the first arm.
Okay, right.
All the reports say that this guy and his colleague went back the next day and found the rest of the bags.
Yeah. Why weren't the police there doing that?
I assume they were. Okay. It just wasn't reported. Okay. So anyway, all the bags were found. The leg, two legs, both in individual bags.
Okay.
The arm, the other arm. And her left arm was found nearly a mile away.
Like it had floated away?
It wasn't until 6 months later, on September 9th, that a man living on a barge in Kingsland Basin would assist in bringing the case to a devastating conclusion.
Oh.
He was cleaning up the canal near his home when he pulled out an orange plastic bag that was rather heavy. They knew it was out there. They prayed it would turn up somehow, but he had found Gemma's head.
Oh, no.
And though it wasn't found until much later, the head was less than a mile from her torso, where her torso was discovered in March. Completing the set of remains was really important. I mean, it spoke to what happened to her, like what really happened to her.
The injuries and
Exactly. Gemma's head had been severely beaten before her body was dismembered with what appeared to be two different sharp instruments.
Really?
Yes. Now, I think it's a good time to just tell you about Gemma, sort of turn from the fate that she suffered to who she was. Gemma was born February 5th, 1983 in Shoreditch, London, to her parents Pauline and Anthony McCluskey. She had two brothers, Danny and Tony. As we know, they were very protective over her most of her life. Her family and close friends called her Little Gem or Gem Star because she really did shine. She was small and petite, but she had a huge, vibrant personality. Aww. She was opinionated, but everyone liked her. Like, yeah. You know, she wasn't there to ruffle feathers. She just was loud.
Said it like it was.
Exactly.
Okay.
Now, I came across a lot of reports of her friends and family referring to her as a quote unquote character.
Aww.
She was a character. She was funny.
I love that.
And as a kid and into adolescence, she always wanted to be an actress. And
reminds me of someone
it
else.
It suited her. Her first legit acting project was landing a brief role as a school bully in a children's program called No Sweat on the BBC.
Hmm.
Listen, if they ask me to be an extra with no lines on any program on the BBC, I would be working on my acceptance speech.
Okay.
I would be like, I would milk that for every
I believe
bit.
That. I do believe that.
So then she joined the supporting cast on EastEnders, and it felt like this whole acting thing was going to pan out for her. The role wasn't huge, but she played Carrie Skinner, the great niece of Ethel Skinner, who was a principal character on the show.
Mm.
So she was tied to one of the main characters. Gemma was in a little over 30 episodes between 2000 and 2001 before her character was phased out of the show when her boyfriend proposed to her, but she was already engaged to someone that she met on holiday.
Ooh.
Dun, dun, dun. So
the drama.
She had to go. After EastEnders, Gemma wasn't really finding any more work as an actress. I mean, things had kind of dried up a little bit for her at the time. It sucks because I bet EastEnders felt to her like this was the start of something big.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like this was her big break. Uh-huh. And she was, I mean, okay, it's a soap. Let's not get too crazy, but that was huge. I mean, okay, yeah. So everyone in London has probably been on EastEnders at one point or another.
It's like,
but
Joey,
dude,
on Friends. He's like, this is my big break.
Lena, she's reading my notes. Okay.
Okay.
Okay, Lena. So she wasn't Joey Tribbiani. She wasn't Joey Tribbiani refusing to take a commercial because she was a soap star. She said, I need to get a job. Like, I've got to work.
Yeah.
So she worked at some nightclubs. She worked as a barmaid. And maybe you're feeling a little sorry for her right now, but by all accounts, she was living. Yeah. I mean, she liked it. Maybe she was either making the best of her situation or she really enjoyed it.
Okay.
She was the life of the party wherever she went. So she was still able to be really social with people, you know, talk to people in the clubs and the bars while she's making drinks and be her wonderful self in a different environment. Something that had less pressure, maybe.
Sure. Okay. Yeah.
And who knows? Maybe she didn't even like acting. Like, who really knows? But the other thing is that she liked having the freedom during the day to go audition for new potential opportunities, new acting projects, but that new project never came. And she really settled into a life as a bartender, and she was happy. She really was.
Good for her.
She was living with her mom, Pauline, and her brother, Tony, in a flat on Pelter Street in Shoreditch. And I said she was happy for the most part because at home, as I alluded to earlier, it was a bit stressful.
Yeah.
Her brother was a bit of a loaf, and her poor mom was very ill. The Daily Mail reported that she had cancer.
Oh.
And then the Truly Criminal YouTube channel reported that her mother had developed MRSA after getting a brain tumor removed.
Oh, no.
So whether she was battling cancer or MRSA, which is a type of staph infection that is resistant to treatment.
Yeah.
She was very, very sick. Either way. Maybe she was dealing with both. Who knows? But yeah, she was not able to care for herself. And maybe that's why Gemma loved her gig as a bartender, because it got her out of the house and the music was loud. The lights were flashing and it was just almost like a sensory deprivation or like a sensory overload, which deprived her of feeling. It drowned it out. That's the perfect way to say it. So Gemma's funeral was held November 30th at St. Monica's Roman Catholic Church in East London. Two black horses pulled a glass carriage containing a wicker casket adorned with beautiful flower arrangements. Daughter and sister were spelled out in flowers, displayed for hundreds in the streets of Hoxton Square to see as it trotted by. Friends and family and even strangers were in attendance, all just shocked and stunned.
Yeah, how could this happen?
At this sudden and senseless loss. One person who sadly was not in attendance was Gemma's mother. She was too sick to attend. So crushing for the family. I mean, I'm not sure how aware of what was going on Gemma's mom was. Like, I don't know if she...
You don't think about that.
But the rest of the family, just to know she can't come. What a mess.
Yeah.
Like, this is not supposed to happen this way. Just can't imagine the pain. Gemma's brother Danny helped carry her casket inside the church, where later Gemma's dad and one of her friends gave beautiful readings. The attendees did their best to sing Amazing Grace through their sobs and fell further into grief as In the Arms of an Angel by Sarah McLachlan echoed through the church. But on reflection, Gemma's loved ones felt like it was a beautiful and perfect way to say goodbye to her.
It sounds like a beautiful funeral.
She was whole.
Yeah.
Every piece of her had been found. She was laid to rest, and now the healing could really begin.
Yeah. What a great tribute. I know.
I know.
With the horses. Oh, that just sounds so nice.
Yeah, it does. Tony McCluskey, having been in custody since his arrest, stood in a courtroom inside Old Bailey. Yep.
Oh.
We know about Old Bailey. And he pleaded guilty to manslaughter and took responsibility for his sister's death, saying he just lost control. He didn't mean for any of it to happen. The last thing he remembers was that Gemma came at him with a knife and then he blacked out.
Sure.
This is interesting though, Lena. Even though he had pled guilty to manslaughter, he was tried for murder.
Oh.
Is that interesting?
Yeah.
Have you ever heard of a plea and then a trial?
No, I haven't. They really wanted to get him on that.
They were like, oh, okay, good. Thank you for admitting to that, but we're taking you down, bro.
Yeah.
So his trial began in January of 2013, just right around the corner.
Yeah, that's
quick. I mean, they were not wasting any time on this guy. The prosecution described how Tony was on thin ice with Gemma and had been for some time. He had been wasting space in her flat for years, smoking weed, hardly working as a window cleaner, and contributing nothing to the situation. Take. That's all he ever did. And she had long been complaining to friends about it. She was done.
Yeah. At some point, there has to be an end.
That's the thing. She would see him in the morning. He was stoned. See him in the afternoon. Stoned. At night. Same position. Stoned. I mean, he'd wake up, hit the wacky backy, and that's all he ever did. And she didn't really know what he was doing in between because she was, I don't know, doing what adults do.
Right.
Grocery shopping.
Being productive.
Yeah, going out and getting a birthday present for a friend or going to work or this, that, and the other. Helping, you know, taking care of her
prescriptions
mom.
Prescriptions for her mom, yeah.
Exactly. So who knows what he was doing, but he was definitely smoking weed all day and doing not much else. Prosecutors explained to the jury that March 1st, the last time anyone saw Gemma, was because that was the day she was murdered. Mm-hmm. That argument she had with Tony about the water all over the bathroom was it. Mm-hmm. She was so done with him. And even though her friend Erica told her that day, you know, look, just give him another chance. Like, it's your brother. Gemma had made her mind up. She was like, I'm enabling this loser. Capital L. And he needs to go. He needs to find another place to live.
She had been pushed to the limit.
Oh, she was done.
Yeah.
But when confronted with the suggestion, Tony thought, where am I to go? He worked just enough to fund his weed addiction, and that was it.
Right.
Where was he going to go? Now, the CCTV footage of him carrying that suitcase out of the flat the next day was played for the jury, and they could see him struggling to get it down the steps.
It's a little heavy, huh?
That's right. And it looked an awful lot like that that one that was found in the canal.
Right.
Isn't that funny? Lena, listen to this. Oh, my God. When Tony carried that suitcase out to the flat, which contained all the bags, he ordered a cab to take him to the canal.
He's like, I need...
The loser. He was such a freaking loser that he ordered a cab.
How did he think he was going to live without her money coming in?
Well, that's the thing.
What did he think?
I don't know what he was thinking. He wasn't thinking. He ordered a cab. Yeah, can you take me to the canal?
Yeah, I need a ride.
Good Lord.
Well, what you got in there, bud? What you got in that
can
suitcase?
Can I help you with that suitcase? No. I got it.
Oh, my gosh.
His defense was that Gemma came at him with a knife. He was sticking with that story.
Whatever.
And she ordered him to get out. And he just blacked out in a rage. He doesn't remember a thing after that.
See, that's why I said a couple episodes ago, just don't do drugs.
I know a lot of people who smoke weed.
Yeah.
It's legal in many states, and many people take it for pain and stuff like that. This guy is acting like he's on bath salts. Okay. Yeah. Like, what is you need to get a hold of yourself.
Right. Well, if he's like,
yo, chill.
Smoking all day, every day.
Well, and he was also smoking skunk, which I don't even know what that is, but apparently it's the worst.
Like,
it's
laced with
stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, the jury was like, this is nonsense. And they found him guilty 11-1 majority on January 30th. Tony was given a life term with a minimum of 20 years. So, well, hey, whatever happened to Sam Dune, the fake kidnapper?
Okay.
Surely he's in trouble.
Do you have the information?
Yeah.
Please tell.
According to court documents, quote, Dune denied 4 counts of sending by means of public electric. No, I'm not going to do it.
Please.
My family's cringing. Quote, Dune denied 4 counts of sending by means of a public electronic communication network a message that was grossly offensive or of an indecent, obscene, or menacing character under the Communications Act.
Whoa.
End quote. I know. I couldn't summarize that. I just had to read it.
Such an act.
Okay. I know. There's such an act. However, because they had evidence against him, I mean, they had the phone calls, they had his phone number, they had the receipts, he changed his plea to guilty.
Okay.
He's like, all right, yo, you got me.
Smart.
You got me. He received 6 months in prison, and the 4 counts would run concurrently.
Whoa.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. Elena, imagine being Tony McCluskey, knowing good and dang well you have murdered and chopped up your sister, and you get a phone call.
This call. What?
He must have been, I don't know. What did he think? Was he confused?
Oh, for sure.
Did he think, am I high right now? Is this really happening? Did he think, did I really murder my sister? What's going on?
I don't remember.
Maybe I didn't murder her.
What?
Maybe he thought, this is amazing.
This is how this helps me. Like this.
It's all coming up, Tony. Like how amazing is this?
I'm wow.
It's shocking, isn't it? Like, and you know what? If he wasn't such a knobhead, he probably could have made it look like Sam Dune had something to do with
right.
it. You know? I mean, if he hadn't have blatantly carried her out
yes.
in a suitcase and then called a cab. Like, what? He could... What? I mean...
What a weird... I'm still baffled about this phone call because, like, who would do it?
Who
like,
would do that?
Why? What?
But
what told you in your brain that this was a good idea?
I often would give anything to be in people's heads. Like, that is why I'm so fascinated with psychology.
Oh, yeah.
But I would give anything to have been in his head when he got that phone call.
I know.
He must have been, I mean, he was probably high all the time. So yeah. He probably thought, what? Whoa, man. Whoa. Oh, my God.
Oh, geez.
Gemma was just doing her best.
Mm-hmm.
And her best was plenty good enough.
Oh, absolutely.
She was taking care of her mom.
Mm-hmm.
She was housing her deadbeat, low-life brother. And she was doing it all with a smile on her face.
Yeah.
She deserved so much better than to have been beaten to death.
Yeah.
And cut up in pieces.
It's really sad that
by her brother.
Yeah. Yeah. Your family, someone who's your family, your blood, your someone who you said that her brothers were so protective of her in the beginning.
Yeah.
And he turned on her.
And Gemma was so generous, like with her money.
Yeah.
It wasn't just when she got her acting jobs. Before that, even she would spot someone 20 quid to go, you know, she would buy someone something, but she was always there for people and she was there for him.
Yeah.
She let him live there. He didn't pay rent. Are you kidding me?
That's what I'm saying. Like, what did he think was going to happen when she was gone? Like his meal ticket was
That's
not
the thing.
Gonna
he
be
wasn't
there.
Thinking of the next step. Mm-hmm. He wasn't they never do.
But you know what? There's a point in time where people are generous and then they start being taken advantage of and they get tired of it.
That's right.
And they start taking up for themselves. And that's right.
And it's a shocker.
Yeah.
It is an absolute shocker.
Right.
To the flying monkeys.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
It's a surprise. Whoa.
She was going to end him taking advantage and he couldn't let that happen.
He couldn't let that happen.
And
but
so
he did end up moving somewhere else to prison. So
there's that. And so you said he has a minimum of 20 years. Do you think he'll like it's almost been 20 years, right?
It's been 1 week since you looked at me. I'm tired. It has been a number of years, Elena. I'm not a mathematician.
Okay.
It's 2025 now. He went
like
to prison in 2012.
Okay. So,
2013. No, 2012.
Oh, okay. So,
he went to prison in 2012, March of 2012.
13 years.
Okay. So, he's still in there.
Yeah. I just know that they like to let him out when it's time.
Oh, they love to let them out.
So,
they're waiting by the clock.
Yeah.
Oh. 5 more minutes.
Yeah.
You're out. I mean, it's sad to say, yeah, I think he's going to get out. And I think he's going to be a total loser and a waste of, I don't know, a waste of a piece of underneath a bridge. Because that's where he's going to be living when he gets out.
You know, and here, yeah, I don't know. Do you change your heart in those 20 years? Do you...
I mean, he's been off He's been off the weed.
Maybe.
You think.
I mean,
I don't know about England, but here you can get your hands on just about anything in prison.
Yeah.
So, but
I don't know. Let's not about him anymore.
No, he sucks. He totally sucks.
Yeah. Let's talk about Gemma.
Gemma.
She was a gem.
She was a little gem.
I love that. I know. It's in her name.
Have you ever met people that are so their name?
Yeah.
She was little Gem. Yeah. She was Gem Star. I mean, she was bright and vibrant, and everyone felt her when she would walk into a room, and she made people feel good.
Aww.
I love that some people are so their name.
Yeah. But well, thank you for telling us.
I really wish she could have been in more acting things. Yeah. I mean, maybe she didn't like it. That's the thing, is maybe she didn't want to do that anymore.
She was done with the drama.
But she was making the best of it.
Yeah.
Either way.
But it sounds like set apart from all of the responsibilities of life, it sounded like she really had a good, fun life.
Yeah.
And I hope she knows that she was truly loved. It sounds like, I mean, she had a lot of people that did love her and stood up for her when it counted. So she had good friends.
Absolutely. She had a great group of friends and family. I mean, her cousins were organizing. We would be those cousins organizing search parties and stuff. I mean, she was amazing. She was amazing and so loved.
Yeah. Well, fly high, Gem Star.
Flap those wings.
Well, that was great. Let's do it again sometime.
Let's do it. See you next time, guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye now.
Bye.
Buck-a-bye. Thank you for listening to Cousins on Crime. Get connected with us by becoming a free member on our Patreon. Or for just $5 a month, you'll have access to bonus episodes, discussion groups, and much more. If you can't afford $5 a month, we get it. Inflation, am I right? Please consider leaving us a positive review and rating wherever you listen.
And don't forget merch. Support our podcast and show the love by sporting t-shirts with our latest designs, or grab an evidence bag to keep the chain of custody for all your valuables. Don't forget to follow our show on your favorite streaming app so you never miss an episode, and get photos and updates on our Instagram at Cousins on Crime Podcast or our Cousins on Crime Facebook page. Have a case suggestion? Email us at cousinsoncrime@gmail.com.